When we're looking for a word from God, a word to the church, or a word to each of us personally, and we're not sure what that word could be, I find it's helpful to try to situate ourselves in time and space. Where am I at now? And so to do that in this moment, I want to start with space or place. We're in downtown Ottawa, in a heavily used building, in a church congregation with an extensive social justice history and ongoing engagement. An engagement that must be regularly renewed so that it doesn't become just words or coasting on history. That's our ethos. It's a costly place. Costly in being, practically speaking, in a heavily used building. And to situate that in our immediate moment, we now have two ministries here at St. John's, in addition to our worshiping congregation. They're called The Well and St. Luke's Table. That's because of a fire, and it's temporary, but it could be a while. But it's already costly. We had a break-in last night, and so we did have to call the police this morning. But that's our place. As for our time, we're in a tremendously busy weekend. We've come yesterday from a funeral of a beloved member of our community. There were about 215 people here. It was packed with standing room at the back and a great outpouring of love. And some of these same faces that I see among us today. Also in terms of time, we're at 4:15 in the afternoon instead of 10:15 in the morning, but it's a one-off. It's an experiment to show that we can do experiments and try new things. And it gives us a fellowship opportunity that's different because it's later in the day. Also in terms of time, we are observing All Saints Sunday, even though you know that tomorrow is All Hallows Eve, and so it can't possibly work. And the dilemma is that next Sunday, we are observing Remembrance Sunday. And I'm going to just give you the intricacy of that. When a Christian feast falls on a weekday, the general rule is you move it to the next Sunday. So All Saints Day would technically be Tuesday, and we should move it to next Sunday, November 6th. When Remembrance Day falls on a weekday, it's appropriate to move it to the Sunday before, which is also November 6th. Which would make that day carry the heavy load of some very different messages that complement each other, but it's hard to do it in the space of an hour and 15 minutes. And so our compromise is we're a little early on All Saints Day, and I already know that lots of churches are doing it that way. They're facing this dilemma of what day of the week it fell on. And there's a particular church in Toronto that I know very well where they're disgruntled because their custom is to wear their Halloween costumes on the Sunday before Halloween. And they are missing out. The other interesting thing about time is that coincidentally, the gospel passage for All Saints Sunday is the same as the gospel passage for Remembrance Sunday. Except that today we get it from Luke, and next Sunday we get the parallel version from Matthew. Now, I fully expect our preacher next Sunday is Rabbi Daniel Michael Berg, and members of the Temple Israel Synagogue will be here with us as well. And I suspect that if he dares to reference the teachings of Jesus at all, he's going to go for, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be children of God." This week, though, given the insert in your bulletin about poverty, I think that the beatitude I want to focus on is, "Blessed are you who are poor." And it's an interesting one because it's very different between the two Sundays. Next Sunday, from Matthew's Gospel, you will hear, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Now, there's a theory that Matthew's church was a rather wealthy church, and "Blessed are you who are poor" was a little close to home, and "Woe to you who are rich" is a little too close to home. So "poor in spirit" allowed it to be about humility. Now, that's just a theory, but we get it in a much harder version today. "Blessed are you who are poor. Woe to you who are rich now. Woe to you who are full now. It's in your face." And it would be easy to see why a community might want to shrink away from that directness. And we might be tempted to do that as well. We might be tempted when we hear, "Woe to you who are rich now," to say, if not now, then when? When is this going to apply? Because it doesn't look like that's how we live. And we'll feel a special discomfort with the last verses of this gospel passage. And I'm going to read them again. "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not even withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you." Now, shortly you'll be walking on Elgin Street, and you know Elgin Street very well. Do you give to everyone who begs from you? How are you going to handle that? This is where I think asking were there to be a word from God to us is very appropriate, because what we're trying to figure out is, how does that speak into our current circumstances? So I want to be a bit transparent about how I handle that. You have your way, and I'd like to hear about that as well. But my way of handling that is, when someone begs for me, I don't give them money. The money I could give to them, and I know there's a script. There's going to be a story with it. There's going to be genuine need. And there's going to be a part of me that thinks, okay, I'm not going to give you money for drugs, or I'm not going to give you money for alcohol. It's really none of my business when someone asks and has need what they're going to spend it on. But what I do is, I'm giving my money to my church's offering, because I know that we give that to various ministries that are directly involved in helping people. That's my way that I'm already giving money to support the people I see on the street, or at least people in general. Now, that doesn't mean that if there's someone that I know and they're stuck, that I might not be moved to quietly do something and help them. And maybe you have that as well, where you'll take someone for a meal, bring them breakfast, help them with something that you know they can't do. So I count on my church to be really generous about having an outreach ministry, because otherwise I'm not following through in answering what I hear Jesus saying to me, which is, give when people are begging. I'm counting on the church to do the giving for me because they have the skills. We have the skills through our outreach ministries to do it better than I could do it by myself. And there's a part of me that I think, okay, all right, if I give this person some money, the door will never stop being knocked on. And that's what I'll spend most of my time doing, because the word gets out on the street. People know and they share, I guess, what would seem like good news to them. So I give to the food bank. We have a food basket. I set a part of my offering aside that I know will be for outreach. And I count on my community to help me to do that part of responding to Jesus here. You're going to have to work it out for you. How is God speaking to you in these very challenging passages, saying to you, blessed are you who are poor now, and woe to you who are rich? How are you processing that one? I think I'm not done there, because I actually need the examples of people who are doing it better than me. And I'm going to think of them as saints. I'm going to think of them as saints who go beyond what I'm doing right now and inspire me. We have the formal saints of the church, and in any of those accounts, there's going to be some legend. But I think if you go down to the core of it, there's going to be someone who was called to be sacrificial in a beautiful way. And so a day like All Saints' Day helps me to have a conscience about, am I doing what I want to be doing, or can I look to someone else and they'll show me a better way? So I invite the Word of God to touch you on this one. Amen.